Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fresh Take from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And today we're talking to Dr. Stacey Haynes. She's a professional counselor specializing in the treatment of social, behavioral, and emotional challenges of children. She is also the director of inclusion and equity at Lives in the Balance, a nonprofit organization founded by Dr. Ross Green, author of the book, The Explosive Child. Lives in the Balance provides resources and support to parents, teachers, and caregivers of kids with social, emotional, and behavioral challenges. Welcome, Stacey.
Great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you on today because Dr. Ross Green's model of parenting in his book, The Explosive Child, I have found so helpful and so transformative of my own parenting. And he sort of created a paradigm of caregiving, I guess you'd call it, called CPS. Can you tell us what that stands for and how it works?
Sure. CPS, it's collaborative and proactive solutions. So that paradigm, it's interesting. Most people will pick up the book because they are having difficulty with their kiddos, right? So challenging behaviors, and they're finding in the parenting section, you're like, I need help. And in The Explosive Child, many people who find Dr. Green find us through that book. It's excellent.
We've all had an explosive child at one point or another, right?
It's definitely, we have a Facebook group and it's definitely one of those books where people are like, have you heard of this book? Have you heard of this book? It's a go-to.
The idea of it, if I can try to put it in words, but I think it is, it's sort of identifying what's underneath the iceberg, so to speak. The challenging behavior is actually a problem. Mm-hmm. And you figure out the problem and then you collaboratively problem solve the problem with your child.
So we absolutely believe that behavior is just the signal, right? So let's say your kiddo first day of school, right? We could be in elementary school and we have kiddos that first day that are crying, right? If they're in kindergarten, maybe they're crying because they miss mom. Maybe if second grade, they're crying because none of their friends are in their classes. But we still have the same behavior. But under that, we say there's still an unsolved problem. And so a big part of this is instead of looking at behavior, we're going to say, what's going on for that kiddo in the moment? What's expectations they're having difficulty meeting? And for some of our kids, they look lucky, right? So the kid that's crying, a teacher might walk over and say, hey, bud, how you doing? What's going on? You miss mom, dad? Hey. But the kid that's crying and maybe stomping, having some unlucky behaviors in that moment, we may respond differently as caregivers in their world. And so we really say behavior is just the signal that, hey, there's a problem that we need to focus on and get to work with solving with our kids.
Sometimes the presentation of the behavior is really confusing to us as caregivers and as parents, and that sometimes I know I struggle the most when my kids' behavior makes it hard for me to access them. The crying, you're right. It's like, I know how to deal with crying. That's a hug and that's love. Oh, that's bringing them in. So we have the first day of school example. What's another example of behavior that is a signal that something's underneath it?
Well, sure. We can talk about, like, for example, in a classroom, right? So Johnny's in the middle of a math test. And if Johnny's crying, right? So again, going back to my crying or an unlucky behavior, Johnny might decide to rip up that math test, mm-hmm. right? Because he's so mm-hmm. frustrated. He's overwhelmed.
I feel you, Johnny, on that math test.
Especially when you get the ratios and long division, right? We're all checked out.
Oh, no. Fractions, dividing, no.
I stopped at third grade math, right, with my kids. So But one of the things, right, so even in those moments, we talk about, sure, it might be an academic, but we could say, but Johnny's also having emotional regulation skills, right? He's got something going on in that moment that outstrips his ability to be able to manage that moment, what we call adaptively, right? So to be able to handle problems and frustration, we need skills. Think about us as moms, right? So when are our worst moments? Mm-hmm. My kids can tell you when I get lost, right? I have to turn the radio down. You might hear everybody be quiet in the car, right? But that might be, again, my challenging behavior coming out. But that's what we have to understand about our kids, right? So when we see challenging behavior, it's just telling us that there's an expectation that's going on. They're having difficulty meeting that expectation. And so with CPS, we say our plan B, which is our conversation then we have with our kiddo, instead of rewards, punishment, sticker charts, behavior mod, we don't do that stuff with CPS. We say, let's sit down, let's have a problem-solving conversation to help our kids.
So can we talk about that? So the kid's torn up the test. How would CPS approach that moment with that child who's sending a signal?
So we're going to work with the student on this problem. But a key thing is we're not going to wait to the moment Johnny's in the math test, right? Let's say the teacher or parent, we've had this happen a few times and we're noticing something's going on. So with CPS, our plan B, we're going to be as proactive as possible. Maybe the test is on Friday, right? So now on Wednesday, as a mom, I'm going to say, hey, Johnny, I know you have a really hard time with those math tests. What's up? And so we problem solve ahead of those moments so that we're not being reactive all the time, right? Whether we're educators or parents, and you come up with a solution that the kid can use in that moment. So then they're also being able to meet the expectation in the moment.
I have a kid who's in special ed, and we hear a lot of this dialogue around kids in special ed. And then I have two kids who are in mainstream learning. And I think some of this support that goes in to help kids who we know struggle with this, we skip over for other kids. And it's something that I talk about a lot, like bringing these techniques to every day, because I have a kid who generally functions pretty well, but he does not do well with hard left turns. And I learned from my kid who really can't do transitions at all, that this idea of really priming the pump so that if the dentist is on Friday, we start talking about that on Monday. Because if we start talking about it at pickup when we're about to go to the dentist, it doesn't go well.
I love that you pointed this out, because sometimes we talk about concerning behaviors, people automatically go, oh, just to kids with disabilities or kids with special needs or just, right. No, this is used in classrooms for all students, right? My kids, I have a Mensa. My daughter is actually high IQ. She's an official Mensa card, carrier here. But I'm doing CPS with her on difficulty writing theme for an honors English class. One of the parts of our approach, we can plan C. We can set side expectations, right? So even for my kids, sometimes I set aside cleaning their room.
Yep. I've plan C'd that at my house.
Right? It's an expectation. But here again, when we have company, I close the door. So this is an expectation I can set aside. What I think people forget is that we are solving problems every day with our kids, right? So we can either plan what we call plan A, we're either saying because I said so, yelling, consequences, whatever. We can plan B, which a lot of times people resonate with the book and the model because they're like, oh, I talk to my kids in a way. It just wasn't the exact way it's laid out here. Or we can plan C, where we can set things aside. And I say, so every day as a parent, you're doing one of those three things at maybe any given moment and maybe not being aware of it. But one of the great things about the model is that, right, it kind of puts it out to say, okay, I can do this, whether I'm a teacher, a caregiver, a parent. Dr. Green wrote the book. We've got the resources on the website so that anybody at any time can pick it up and use it for any kid. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because a lot of people, we start talking approaches and they're like, oh, that's only in one side of our building. Nope, that's for all kids.
Can we talk about the plan A a little bit? Go back to that. CPS is a departure from our usual way of doing things, which might be, in the case of the kid who ripped up the test, what would plan A be? The usual approach.
Plan A might be you're out of my classroom, kiddo, right? Sometimes, and it doesn't always mean consequences. Plan A, if you have a child study team meeting, for example, and your child is not in that meeting, and the adults in that child's world has come up with ideas and interventions or accommodations for their plans, we could actually be doing plan A because we don't have the kid involved. These are uninformed decisions on a way to solve a problem, right? So adults in a room might say something like, oh yeah, you know, Johnny's having a hard time turning in that math homework. We're going to have the teacher sign the agenda book. We're going to have Johnny sign the agenda book. And yay, we've got a great accommodation. Let's put that on his plan. Johnny was never involved. So when we go to share it with Johnny, what does he do? Yeah. I'm not doing that, right? That's not something I want to do. And now we're saying, oh, he's not motivated. He's oppositional. So plan A can be about consequences, but really what we say, it's an uninformed. It's because I said so. It's the adults in a kid's world saying, this is what we're going to do to meet the expectation.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about what happens when the kids who struggle aren't given the help they need.
Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby, who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed. Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order. We're back. We're talking to Dr. Stacy Haynes of Lives in the Balance. Okay, so what's wrong with this approach is the kids that we lose by not giving them the help they need. Instead, we might turn up the heat, right? First, you have to sit in the back of the classroom or the front of the classroom. Then you get sent to the principal's office. Then your parent comes in. We're turning up the heat. We're turning up the heat. And we might do this at home. Like, you'll clean your room, or no dessert, or no screens. And now you can't go to the birthday party this weekend. Like, I'm turning up the heat. But as you point out in your work so well, like, if these things work, they would have worked. They don't tend to give us the results that we want, but what do they get us instead?
Yeah, I always tease my teenagers that come in, right? Or the parent that's like taking the cell phone, right? And I'm like, okay, so we've taken Fortnite how many times? We've taken their cell phone and we still have the same, what we call unsolved problem, right? Consequences. You know, that's one of the challenges. Even when we look in school settings, right? The whole idea of having, let's say, a detention or a suspension, well, we've known for years that that doesn't change behavior. What it does, even at home, I go to give a consequence. I get more challenging behavior. I might get, you know, slamming things, stomping up the steps at this point. You know, we have just escalated a moment.
Now everybody's yelling. Yep.
Exactly. We've all been there, right? Listen, that moment. And it's like, wait a minute, pause, time out. The goal of CPS is to resolve conflict or disagreements in a way that doesn't have conflict. So even as a mom with my kid, right, if I really want that kid to meet the expectation, conversation, then I have to figure out what's getting in the kid's way. And our Plan B conversation helps us to figure out that part because we say empathy, right? I have to sit, I have to talk to my kid and say, hey, bud, I know you're having difficulty cleaning that room. What's up? Right? And so again, it's those small moments that we begin to pick apart to help our kid to even meet the expectations. And what I love, because I love expectations, we actually don't eliminate our expectations. This isn't compromise. I'm actually going to get my kid through this conversation to be able to clean their room, to be able to complete that math test, to be able to meet the expectations that made us want to sit down and talk with them to begin with.
I think that point is really important because I think a lot of us with Plan A, we sometimes get pressure as moms, like, tweet, you're so precious that you're going to think about their feelings. Back in our day, we just told kids what to do and they did it. But I think what you're saying is that we're missing Plan B, the next step, where we're actually going to get a little bit deeper than that. But do you see pushback from parents who say, that seems a little precious to them? Like, we don't need to talk about feelings. We need to get the math homework turned in.
He needs to get in line. Right.
Yeah. And absolutely. And it's funny because by the time they come to see us, right, they've tried punishment.
Right.
They've tried corporal punishment. They've tried, you know, taking the door off the room. Like, you know, by the time parents have come to us, listen, they've tried everything and we're still in the same place. So I always say to my parents, give us 30 days, right? Put all that Plan A stuff to the side. Let's sit down and try Plan B for 30 days. Let's actually solve some of the problems. Because the thing about a Plan A moment is we maybe have given, you know, taken that cell phone, but did we really solve the problem? No, all you did was take the cell phone. So tomorrow, right, with my preschoolers, right, if you have the behavior chart with the red, yellow, and green, we get really excited and we have a green day, right? But guess what? The next day it's going to be yellow or red because the kid still doesn't have the skills to meet the expectations in that classroom setting. So then their little behavior chart starts looking like the Christmas tree, right? With all the different color lights.
Yes.
And our hope is that, right, this has changed something. No, the green sticker doesn't change anything from the kid because the next day when that expectation and they're saying, hey, bud, we need you to help clean up, and he doesn't have the ability in that moment to do it, then comes back the yellow and the red sticker. So we're really not teaching skills by a lot of the Plan A and behavior stuff that we're doing with our kiddos.
Can we talk about the lagging skills and unsolved problems? You have, I'll put the link to the Google Doc in the show notes for this episode. It's very eye-opening. You have a kid who's working your last nerve in a certain way. If you can reframe it as, this kid has a lagging skill. This child has an unsolved problem. It's a questionnaire that you can fill out about where your kid's coping skills might be lagging. And how do you suggest that either schools and or parents use this questionnaire to sort of figure out where their kid's at?
Yeah, so we call it our Assessment of Lagging Skills and Unsolved Problems, right? So our ALSUP. And it's a one-page document. As a mental health clinician, I love it because I'm like, what? It's not 200 questions. It's just one page.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple for us, please.
Yes. It's like, wait a minute. I always tease Ross. I was like, one page? That's it? So the top, though, right, it's about identifying lagging skills. So instead of me saying things like, my kid's lazy, not motivated, I can say, hey, maybe they're having difficulty maintaining focus. Maybe they're having difficulty persisting on tedious tasks. So we have about 18 skills that we've identified from the research working with children to say, if we're having a kid that's having a hard time adapting to problems and frustration in appropriate ways, then maybe it's because, again, these skills, these moments require these skills and a kid's lagging them. So I would say it's kind of like our why, right? We kind of get a bigger picture of understanding. Then our when moments, or when do we see those moments that our kids are having the difficulty meeting expectations, right? So my when moments are the expectations, right? So difficulty getting up in the morning, difficulty playing four squares at recess, difficulty sitting next to, you know, John at circle time. So it's these types of moments that we now can then put into specific expectations. And now, instead of saying to Johnny, hey, why are you hitting Susie at circle time? I can say, hey, bud, I know you have a really hard time sitting next to Susie at circle time. What's up? Kids are open. We come in neutral, right? If we start talking about their negative behavior, the things that we see, they start shutting down. They don't want to talk. What I'm really doing with this ALSUP is also changing my language to say, hey, we're going to come in neutral. We're going to have a problem-solving conversation. You're my problem-solving partner. And so on that ALSUP, we change our words so that we are now getting ourselves ready for the actual Plan B conversation with the kiddos.
for people who are just coming to this, there's sometimes a little bit of like, not my kid though. My kid really needs the hard love. Like, this wouldn't work for my kid. So walk us through a little bit what that looks like. Now we're on to the plan B. We're understanding that we need to connect with this kid, have some empathy, and start building that out.
To your point of not my kid, right? So I always tell my groups, I have worked with schools, alternative learning centers in New York City, right? Some of our toughest kiddos. So the Hard Knocks group, they love this conversation as well, because here again, we're going to solve problems. So we start with the empathy step, and it's called the empathy step because all we're doing in that first part is actually helping to understand from the kid's perspective what's going on in that moment. Mm. And so we have a drilling cheat sheet. We have a plan B cheat sheet that takes you through the steps of the conversation, but it is a conversation that starts with just listening from the student. I find that students enjoy being able to sit down with an adult. I always say, you're not in trouble. Mm. I'm trying to understand what's going on in the moment. And then we give them, after hearing their concerns, we give them our concerns. So parents, again, we don't ignore our needs. We get to say, hey, this is my concern about, again, you being able to meet this expectation. It could be a safety concern. It could be, you know, even with math. Hey, but I really, you know, my concern is I don't want you to fall behind. I really want you to be able to understand this. And it seems like it's really hard for you when you're taking tests. We can be heartfelt, but we can share our concern. And then our invitation, we invite them to problem solve. So we actually take one of the kids' concerns, one of our concerns, and we invite them to actually come up with solutions to solve the problem. Give you one of my favorite examples. I've had little ones as little as 3 and 4 years old that come up with like really great ideas. I had a second grader who was having school anxiety. Her solution was to bring a basketball to the bus stop so that kids would talk to her and she would make friends. Mm. We would have never thought of that idea.
It's so important, because I would definitely be the kind of adult, I think most ones would, that you're having anxiety. So what do you think we should do? I thought we should do this construction paper project that I have here under the desk already to go. You know, you would literally never have come to the solution that actually mm-hmm. worked for that kid. What's so amazing when you really go through these, you know, I notice you're having trouble at test time, and sometimes you seem to get so frustrated, you tear it up. What's up? And you can find out, like, it's too hot in the classroom or something you would never think of if you really open up the conversation.
And even to the point of like homework on one day, right? So kids will tell me things like, well, spelling is fine when I only have to write the words 3 times, but it becomes hard when I have to write it in a sentence, right? Or, you know, math is good till we get to long division. Even cleaning their room, it's about, I didn't know, you know, how to start or what parts to start with, or it's just too overwhelming. Like the things that we hear from our kids, that's the empathy. I always say it changes my heart when I sit down with a kid, because man, I don't even see the same situation the same anymore after you hear from them what makes it so hard.
We're going to come back and learn more about lives in the balance.
Many of us have hair that is shedding more freely than we would like it to, and there are a lot of reasons for that. And let's be honest, some of us, I'm pointing to myself, have all of these reasons. But whatever the cause of hair shedding might be, Nutrafol's Hair Health Quiz is a great place to start.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Nutrafol's 3-minute quiz analyzes all the factors that affect hair growth. Then they create a customized hair health plan that is unique as you are.
Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter the promo code LAUGHING.
Let me just add that Mother's Day is approaching, and if you've had your eye on Nutrafol but you weren't sure if you should go for it, you definitely should. And if you need to leave a hint out for the gifting elves in your house, or maybe they're listening right now, I'm going to spell it for them. Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz. Then use the promo code LAUGHING to get free shipping and $10 off the first month.
Amy and I are customers. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code LAUGHING.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
We're talking to Dr. Stacey Haynes. Before the break, we were talking about connecting with kids, finding this empathy, being these kind of mystery solvers with them and finding their solutions. What about a kid? I know I have one who I can picture this conversation. I don't know. Nothing will make it better. Never mind. It's not fixable. So what do we do with a kid who isn't really available for this conversation, at least the first time we have it with them?
Yeah, I love that. We have an entire slide when we do the presentations on the I don't know kid.
I need that slide. I need to skip to that slide.
A whole chapter in the book, I think.
Because I'm picturing my kid. Nothing will ever make it better. He's just in that place.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for some kids, it's also their defense response, right? So they say, I don't know. Then they know we're going to move on, right? So even right. The idea, we have drilling strategies that teaches us how to, for example, in that moment, I might say a kid, you know, if I say, hey, bud, I know you have difficulty, you know, picking up the toys in the playroom, what's up? And they say, I don't know. I'm like, well, let's first, what toys are in the playroom? What kind of things do we have in there? Even if I'm the parent, what I'm doing now is kind of getting the conversation going, right? So we're moving past the I don't know and really helping kids. So we have drilling strategies, but yeah, a whole page on that, because some of our kids, they've been, I hate to say, conditioned, even when we ask them a question, right? How was school today? It was okay. And then we move on, right? But being specific with our strategies, we actually are able to have really great and insightful conversations. And some of our kids just need time because they've never thought about what's hard. Right. So that's what's interesting, too, because I might even say, hey, Blake, you know what? I've never thought about what's hard either about cleaning up the playroom. What do you think? What's hard about that? And so getting kids even that space to kind of think about the problems, right, that affect their lives is a cool part of the CPS model.
Yeah. And I think my kid who struggles with it, what he struggles with is feeling overwhelmed. So then the question becomes overwhelming. And it's, I guess, revisiting that conversation and really keeping it open ended and just kind of drawing it out of him.
Yeah.
Challenging, though. Challenging.
So you recently published an article, Stacey, on exclusionary discipline in schools and how it's counterproductive and unnecessary for all students, but perhaps unfairly applied to some students more than others. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Dr. Green and I, we at Lives in the Balance, we've always had the mission of talking about school discipline. And so our alternative to exclusionary discipline article focuses on the fact that many of our schools, believe it or not, 19 states actually still use corporal punishment for students in schools. And so we're looking at the fact that students that are Black and brown, students that with disabilities are male students. We're looking at disproportional data and the fact that we really have to, what we would say, be more disproportionate problem solving. So really work on a way to keep kids in school. Dr. Green wrote the book Lost at School, which also kind of, again, highlights the CPS model, but talks about what we know with this disconnect with kids once we start suspending them or removing them from classroom settings or from the general education settings, that they do begin to drift even by high school. If a kid has like one suspension by high school, that's going to reduce their likelihood of graduating high school, which is crazy statistics. But we look at even preschool. Many of the families that find me, my new patient is a 3, 4, and 5-year-old that's been kicked out of a preschool setting for behaviors Wow. that the American Medical Association says a 4 or 5-year-old should have, right? Things like hitting, not sharing, kicking. This is all age appropriate stuff. And so we at Lives in the Balance are really looking at helping schools to change their policies, change their discipline practices, using more CPS conversations, because we definitely want kids to be able to stay in school and stay connected.
We do have people who talk about corporal punishment in our Facebook group. We will have people who come in and say, you know, that kid just needs a good smack and that'll get him back in line. And they're not interested in the 18 different steps. We are, just to put it out there, against corporal punishment on this podcast. But I think framing it for people, not just as, you know, that's old school, that's wrong in this way, but that is a plan A kind of a behavior that actually doesn't work for kids. And it's a distancing activity that's creating distance between you and the child, and that actually creating connection between you and a child is going to get better results, even though it might seem a little bit harder at first.
Yeah. And one thing I always say to Ross, I said, I know it maybe wasn't intended to be a family therapy model, but, you know, I watch families, I watch teachers and educators who sit down with the student. And again, you know, they look at the reports from last year and they're like, oh, Josh, this is my kid this year, right? He's in my class, kid. But by the end of the school year, they're using CPS. They're solving problems with the student. And for next year, guess what? They're handing off a new kid with new skills to the next year teacher, right? And so one of the things with this, it is a relationship building model. It changes how you view your kid, right? So if I look at my kid and be like, hey, you know what? I no longer see them as lazy and unmotivated. Yeah, they're just having a hard time with sensory stuff. They're having a hard time joining conversations. You know, we think about our lagging skills in so many areas of our kids' lives these days. But it does. It brings parents together instead of yelling or plan A-ing, right? Now we can say, hey, let's have a problem-solving conversation. I had one of my providers, she would take problem solving hats, like little detective hats with her kids. And she would sit down and say, okay, we're doing our problem solving, get your detective hats. And they would sit down. And that changed her whole outlook as a mom on how to parent her two boys.
It is so cute. And it's very meaningful because, listen, we're busy and we're frustrated. Sometimes you're just like, put your shoes on, get in the car. It's not every conversation is going to be like, Let's connect on a deeper level. But I think if we only are able to function at that frustrated level, it just causes more problems than it solves.
Well, no, I was going to say, and one of the things about getting ahead of these and being proactive is that when the kids don't have their shoes on, you now have a solution for that, right? So we can get into our toolkit of solutions and now throw a solution for the kid to get the shoes on. Now we're all getting out the door in time.
I wanted to give a little more airtime to plan C, because this has also really helped me. So if plan A is your old way of doing things, right, that because I said so sort of thing, and plan B is let's sit down and talk about this and let's collaboratively problem solve, there is a plan C alternative, which is not yet, not right now. I'm going to sort of park this expectation, not give up, but just put it away for a little bit. Do I have that right?
Yes. And plan C is helpful. I tell parents, you know, it's kind of like our New Year's resolutions, right? It is October. None of us remember what we started off in the year, right? Plan C is just like that. We're not going to be able to work on everything at once, right? So you can set things aside as a parent. Maybe I'm setting aside, you know, things that are difficult in the morning, just so we have a quiet morning. Doesn't mean we forget about them. We're going to come back and problem solve them. But for right now, I'm going to say, hey, my priority is to plan B, this expectation, something that's maybe a safety issue or happening every day. But we also do this with IEPs in a beautiful way, right? So let's say we have a student that needs help with instructions for a math test. While the rest of the class is taking the math test, the student might be doing something else, right? So we set aside the expectation of taking the math test until we can do that later for a student. So we do set expectations aside, and people have to be comfortable saying, it's not compromise, we're going to come back to it. But sometimes it's very helpful for us and for the kid to be able to set something aside. It's hard to do in the heat of the moment.
It is, but if your house is always heat of the moment, if you have a lot of conflict in your house, it's very useful to sort of lay out for yourself, okay, the messy room, I'm just not even going to talk about it for the next 6 months. I refuse to fight about that with my kid, or you're wearing that to school. Like, we're going to take that off the table, and we're going to worry about, as you say, the safety issue or the failing three classes issue. Some other stuff is going to have to wait.
One of the things I tell parents of my teenagers, the more we can plan, see, and write, just focus on those bigger issues, you actually gain closer connection as they're getting older. Because it's, again, the kids are like, mom, don't sweat the small stuff, right? But we've been sweating the small stuff all along.
Right.
But if we can problem solve the big stuff with our kids, man, they're like, oh, my parents going to help me out with this. I love it. And then we can come back to the little stuff.
Yeah. And it avoids what we talk about a lot, which is the wall of noise that ends up happening, which is your only interactions with your kids are just like, get your shoes, clean your room. You are a mess. Mm-hmm. You are this, you are that. And then you're skipping all of that good connection that lays out some groundwork to hold on to in the future. Talk to us about Lives in the Balance.
Sure. Well, Lives in the Balance, it's a nonprofit created by Dr. Ross Green. And so we have tons of free resources. So parents that are wanting to learn more about the CPS model, it's livesinthebalance.org. We train schools. We train parents. We train professionals all over the country, train schools how to use it in classroom settings with kids. We train facilities. A big part of his heart is to make sure that we can offer as much as we can free to individuals that, again, are caretakers in the lives of children. But the work that Lives in the Balance does, again, is seen throughout the world and on the website. I do want to just highlight the kidsweLose.com as well. Okay. Dr. Green did a documentary called The Kids We Lose, and it's won several film festival awards. And it just highlights 8 families and their challenges with our educational system and when kids are not the cookie cutter mold, right? And some of the challenges that families face. And so the kidsweLose.com has the trailer there, but also the Hope and Solutions video that kind of shows the Plan B conversation, but it's a great documentary for families as well.
It's such important stuff, and it's a little complicated. I mean, it's easy to understand, and it's a little harder to put into practice. It takes some practice, but I feel like, Stacey, you really sort of explained it so clearly today. I understand it so much better now, and I believe in this model so much.
Yeah, and I encourage our audience to dial into these resources because there's a lot to learn about your own family, and then there's a lot to learn in the bigger picture about how we are failing some kids as a group of humans. And so it's good on the micro and the macro level.
Stacey, thanks so much.
Stacey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of 2, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.